Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q1 FY23 results conference call of Adani Green Energy Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Modi from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Yashashri. I would like to introduce the management of Adani Green Energy Limited. Mr. Kaushal Shah, CFO, Mr. Rajkumar Jain, Head of Business Development, and Mr. Viral Rawal, Lead Investor Relations. Now I'll hand over the call to Mr. Kaushal Shah, CFO, for opening remarks, followed by Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good afternoon and warm welcome to all the participants in this earnings call. Thank you for joining and hope you and your families are safe. We have uploaded the earnings presentations on our website, and we hope that you have a chance to go through the same. What I will do is that I'll quickly take you through the, you know, the achievements and operational highlights. Let me start with the capacity growth. On a year-to-year basis, the operational capacity has increased by 65% to 5,800 MW through a combination of greenfield projects execution and a successful acquisition of SB Energy portfolio. In this quarter, EGL has commissioned India's first solar and wind hybrid project of 390 MW at Jaisalmer. Over and above, you know, there is a partial commission capacity of 1,275 MW. That takes overall to 7,075 MW as we speak. But because of the long-term access issues, you know, that is technically the COD is not announced for that 1,275 MW. We are in a process to charge, you know, another 607 MW in next 2 weeks to 3 weeks. All in all, we are at almost 7.7 GW, which, you know, translates this company from the developing risk to the developed, you know, company having a very strong EBITDA margin. That's what is on the capacity side. Another important milestone in this quarter, as you are all aware, that we have a strategic partner in the form of IHC, and they have invested $500 million in this quarter. We have received the cash also, and that has helped us to reduce our debt to that extent, you know. That's another important. Apart from the Total, you know, IHC is another partner, and, you know, they have invested at almost close to 2,000 rupees into this, you know, Adani Green. That's a big achievement of this quarter. On the ESG front also, you know, EGL has received a ESG score of 66 out of 100 in CRISIL Sustainability Yearbook, which is the highest in Indian power segment. We continue to benchmark the, you know, the improvement in the ESG score and making sure that, you know, we deliver this consistently. EGL has also published business responsibility and sustainability report, BRSR, well ahead of mandatory adoption required from FY23. For taking all the steps, all our plants are plastic free as we speak, and there are various other steps which we are taking. Our audit committee on the governance front, comprising of the independent board and, you know, there is no executive director or anybody from the company, so it's completely independent. Apart from that, we have various committee, risk mitigation committee, We have a legal, tax and regulatory committee. We have CSR committee who oversees the CSR activity and the ESG activity. All of that, you know, the global standard framework on the governance front we have already established. Now let me take you through the operations. EGL has continued to demonstrate the consistent improvement in its operational performance. So if you look at the solar CUF, it is improved by 150 bps to 26.5%. Wind CUF has improved by 850 basis points to 47%. So this is highest ever reported by EGEL. And another important thing, the newly added solar wind hybrid plant, which is country's first, as I communicated, has a robust CUF of almost close to 44%. So this is what is, as far as the CUF is concerned. This is backed by the high plant availability of 100% and high grid availability of almost 99%. So at both the front, we are, you know, we have improved. Sale of energy, if you look at this, has increased by 73% to 3550 million units, backed by the robust addition of 2 to 80 megawatt over last 1 year. Now this 3550 is of 5800 megawatt, but there is a further, you know, 1500 million units approximate for you know, the partially commissioned projects which we have of 1275 megawatt. So that's the, and that we have earned the revenue on that also. That is part of my CapEx. So CapEx has reduced to that extent. Revenue from the power supply has increased by 57% year on year to 1328 crores. And EBITDA from the power supply has increased by 60%, but we have been consistently able to maintain 92% EBITDA margin. Normally, you know, when we look at the numbers, we look at the, you know, the cash profit. So that is increase of 48% to 680 crores in this quarter. If my friends, you know, if you are evaluating the PAT, then, you know, in the last quarter of FY21, we had, 80 crore as one-time exceptional income. So if you remove that exceptional income, that my increase in the profit is almost 30%. That exceptional income was generated because we have got rid of a small operation we had in the U.S. So that was the profit we had in that last year Q1. But, you know, that was a one-time exceptional. So if you remove that, we are at 30%. And compared to, you know, Q4, we are almost at 58%. So, you know, there is a big, big, big jump in the operations and the performance. As far as the, you know, the run rate EBITDA, some of you would like to know that for 7075 megawatt, we will be, you know, expected is around 6,100 crore roughly will be the run rate EBITDA. And for another 600 megawatt, which we are making it operational, we are talking about roughly around 500 crore as a run rate EBITDA. So this is what is the number as far as the, you know, the run rate EBITDA is concerned. And, you know, on the cash side, we have a cash and bank balance of around 4,000 crores in this quarter, you know, so consistently maintaining the cash balance, which is sufficient to make sure that whatever is the requirement, we can meet immediately. And, you know, my net debt to EBITDA is 6.16%. So, you know, the overall net debt is coming at around 37,158 crores. So, all in all, you know, very, very strong quarter we have. Some of the friends have a question on the rising interest rates. So I'm happy to tell you that my 76% of the overall portfolio is linked to the fixed project cost, so there is no impact of whatsoever in nature. Around 14% of the portfolio we are about to refinance that in a near future, mostly in this quarter itself. So we are locked more or less for 90%. Remaining 10%, you know, I have a reset due over a period of next couple of years. So, you know, that's the only limited exposure we have. And having said that, overall cost of borrowing is only 8.9%. So that is also, you know, you should know. As far as the, you know, some of the questions you might have is on the depreciation of the INR. We as a company has a policy to completely hedge whatever is the, you know, the forex exposure on the loan front. And, you know, we have that already fully hedged. So there is nothing pending. And nothing is pending on that front. And I'm happy to report that Vinit ji has joined on this call. So, you know, he's available for the answers of any questions if you have. So this is what is the, you know, the update from my side. If you have any specific questions, we are happy to respond. Thank you so much for patiently hearing.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Kumar, can you speak louder,
yeah,
please?
Sure. Okay, I'll try. Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a very, very good set of numbers, especially on the EBITDA side. So my first question is, given that we have a large portfolio, is your appetite for taking more projects on bidding basis is limited at this point of time? And the related question is that if and when the opportunity for hydrogen arises from the group company, will we participate in setting up renewables from this company, or is completely independent?
Mohit, you know, in respect of, first I come on your question number second about the hydrogen. See, about the hydrogen, you know, we are working, and as you are aware of that, you know, our group company, that is Adani New Industries Limited, we are working, you know, very, very, you know, on the, at the macro level for this whole hydrogen, green hydrogen value chain, starting from manufacturing, then the green hydrogen generation, and then the downstream, which is in respect of the ammonia, urea, methanol. So this, you know, the whole strategy of this green hydrogen, you know, is being formed, you know, at our group level. Now, what would be the role of Adani Green in that? Okay, we can't say right now because we have not finalized the strategy on this. However, one thing, you know, wherein we are working quite aggressively is on the pump hydro. Because, as you are aware of that, you know, the either solar or wind, okay, or a hybrid of solar or wind has a limitation of the higher CUF. And if suppose, you know, the government requires the round-the-clock power, so we require either, you know, a pump hydro or, you know, we require the battery storage. And we as an organization believe that the battery storage won't be a good, you know, the long-term solution. So we in Adani Green are working very, very extensively on the pump hydro. This is in respect of your, you know, the reply of question number two. And in respect of question number one, as you are aware of that, presently we are having a large, you know, the pipeline of our PPAs. The manufacturing link, you know, we have 8 gigawatt. Besides that, okay, 1.3 gigawatt we have of the soft bank, you know, which are in execution, then again our on bidding. So we are having a good pipeline of the signed PPA project with us. And we are also working on all the new bids which are coming. We are not very aggressive on the bidding part, okay, but we are bidding in all, Okay, and we will continue bidding for the good, you know, the bids, and surely, you know, we'll send the new PPAs also. I think, you know, I have replied back your question, Mohit.
Understood, sir. So secondly, on the P&L, on the income statement, was there a large income booked in the quarter because of sale on the exchanges in this particular quarter? And if you can quantify the contribution in this from the exchanges?
So Mohit, in the P&L, you know, we have a revenue of around 44 crore from the carbon credit. So this is what is, this has started in this quarter. We had eligibility and we sold that in the market. So that is one thing. The income which we have generated, which is, you know, just we have a 763 crore to be precise generated in this quarter, which is part of my CapEx, not of my, you know, P&L. So that has reduced my overall CapEx cost.
As per the accounting standard. What is the gross block of this 7 gigawatt which is operational right now?
Sorry?
Gross block for the 7 gigawatt which is operational right now? Gross block?
No, it will be reduced from the capex. So currently the
So my question is, what is the gross block for the entire 7 gigawatt which is operational as of now?
I don't have that ready-made number because, you know, balance sheets are not it. So we will send you offline on this.
Okay, sir. Thank you and best of luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Maurice.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you're requested to press star and 1 on your phone now. We have a next question from the line of Apoorva Bahadur from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, wanted to understand, you said that the company is planning to do aggressive on pump hydro. If you can throw some light over there, sir, on the type of capacity which is planned to build, the timelines over there, and the maths behind it, so both the capex and the tariff side of things.
Thanks, Apoorva, for your question. Apoorva, as you mentioned, you know, we have just started working on pump hydro, you know, as a business case within Adani Green. We are evaluating right now 6-7 projects in Andhra, in Maharashtra, in Gujarat, in Rajasthan, in Bengal. Okay, right now the preliminary, you know, the evaluation part is going on. Okay, and in the initial, you know, the briefing, we get, you know, some very positive, you know, the outcome. So therefore, you know, we are going in the second, you know, the second gate of that, okay, which may be, you know, in another 5 or 6 months, we will have, you know, some pre-visibility report of this 6-7 projects, and then after that only we can say something, Apoorva. So it's very difficult for me right now to say how much would be the capex, what would be the capacity, what would be the location, what would be the opex. Maybe in next 6 months or so, we'll be in the position, you know.
Your voice is breaking. Can you please repeat? Can you speak something, sir?
Now it's okay?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, I was just mentioning that, you know, from hydro, we have started, okay, a few months back, okay, evaluating the various projects which are feasible and which are available, you know, in the market. And you know, right now we are working on 6-7 projects on the feasibility part, which we are hopeful that in next 6 months, we will complete the pre-feasibility report on these 6-7 projects, which are located in Andhra, in Maharashtra, in Gujarat, Rajasthan, and in West Bengal. So it's very difficult for me right now giving any number on capex or opex or giving, you know, some capacity of the project. So just wait for the next, you know, 6-7 months, we will come back on this, Apoorva.
Sure, sir. We will look forward to it. So secondly, I wanted to understand then again on this pump hydro and the entire storage business model. So what we understand is that the ANIL will take care of industrial decarbonization while Adani Green is more for the grid decarbonization, right? So does that mean that the storage capacity from this pump hydro will be exclusively to meet the grid deficits, or will it also be utilized to sort of supply around the clock renewable power to C&I customers and for producing hydrogen as well?
So all the options are possible, Apurva. Okay, because as I mentioned in the beginning, the only solar, only wind or hybrid of solar or wind has some limitation on the C of part. Okay, so therefore when there is a round-the-clock bids are there, okay, and when there is a C&I, you know, the round-the-clock, you know, the requirement is there. So within Adani Green, this pump hydro, you know, will provide a flexibility, you know, for us, for the grid, you know, the synchronization and the grid, you know, the flexibility. So this will be, this could be a part of the, of the grid stability, could be a part of the C&I suppliers and could be a part of something else also, Apurva.
Fair enough, sir. And I think Kaushal Bhai provided the run rate EBITDA for the operational capacity. I missed that number. If you can please repeat, it will be very helpful, sir.
So for 7,000 megawatt, we have around 6,100. And another 607 megawatt, which is, you know, about, we are in the process of charging, that could be around 500.
Okay, got it. So thank you so much. I'll get back in. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to press star and one to ask a question. We have a next question from the line of Nikhil from Alliance Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So my first question, just wanted clarification regarding the short-term market sale. So what I understood was that about 763 crores is the revenue realized from selling in the short-term market. And even the units corresponding to that, about 1,500 MUs, is not part of the 3,500 which has been shown in the presentation. That's over and above, and it's all being adjusted with, from CAPEX.
Yes, yes, you are right.
Understood. Understood, sir. My second clarification I needed was on the Forex part. So in the P&L, we could see two large Forex items. One was about 100 CR adjusted on interest gain and 200 loss outside that, 300 loss outside that. So just wanted to clarify if you could give some more details on both these items.
So we, see, what is happening is that every quarter I have to do mark-to-market provision in the books. So since dollar has moved from, you know, 77 to, let's say, you know, 80, so there is a loss on account of that, and there is a corresponding the income also. So net-net, it's a premium which I am paying it around 4% on the, you know, the outstanding loan of around $2.5 billion, roughly. I'm just saying, I'm remembering. So that's the number. So it's a premium cost net-net, you have to see that. But if you need any specific, you know, further detailing, what we will do is I will ask Viral to send you separately these details.
Perfect. That will be helpful, sir.
Thanks.
My other question was regarding on the debt position. I think you said 76% is fixed rate debt, which you have, I think, which is great. If you could just give us clarity on how long is the fixed duration for? Is it fixed for 3-4 years?
Or
is it fixed
for the more or less more than 10%. So, you know, 10 years. So what is happening is that we have some of the bonds which we have done and some of the ECBs for a construction, sorry, not construction, but the, some of the loans which we have done and then the rupee loan are there. So both combined to put together, you know, we have this percentage coming up.
So you're saying they're fixed in general for 10 years almost? That's the duration for which the interest are fixed?
Yeah, for example, RG2, we have issued a bond for 22 years. So that's how, you know, my duration is high. Similarly, for some of the rupee also, I have a fixed. We have recently done the bond issuance, you know, which is at 7.63%, which is also fixed. So there is no increase on the cost on account of this. Even, and I'm happy to inform that we could refinance 3,200 crores and whereby there is a reduction, in fact, in this high environment. We completed just before RBI first time announces the increase in the rate. And thereby, we will have a saving of around 44 crore annually on this 3,200 crores.
Understood, sir. So my last question was on receivables. I think great to see receivables improve so much. Which is much better than many competitors that we have seen in this space. Wanted to understand, do you see this sustainable low receivables?
No, I think I forgot in my opening remarks, but it's good that you raised this issue. You know, Tamil Nadu, which was a headache for us, normally we used to receive it in 120, 150 days. And I'm happy to inform that that receivable is now absolutely current. And at least right from April onwards, we have seen this trend. In fact, April, we have received 400 odd crore straight at one stroke. And thereafter, every month, we are receiving the due payment. So, we feel that the rest of the receivable were more or less was not major issue. But Tamil Nadu was one of the concern area, which is now resolved. So we feel that, this will continue.
Understood, sir. On this, do you see any impact? There was some news going around that, government is looking to give 48-month period to DISCOMs to pay long outstanding dues. Do you see any impact from that sort of a guidance coming in from the ministry or not really?
So I think this is Raj. So from the government's notification, Adani Green is barely impacted just because we do not have a long standing outstanding. And the as Kaushal Bhai just told you, my largest outstanding has been cleared. So I don't get impacted mainly with this. There may be some minor ifs and buts there, but it is not impacting us. And then second, for it to become operational against any counterparty, which is me, the counterparty has to opt for it. Okay. So we have not seen those things happening. So at least AGL portfolio is not impacted. As an industry, it depends each party and each DISCOM how they have moved. On this, there was also a recent challenge against this in one of the high court. Although that, there again, there is some movement there in that particular event as well. So there is a lot of water to flow in this case, but I am more or less immune in this case.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you. Reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead. Mr. Puneet?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, thank you so much and congratulations on good numbers. My first question is with respect to your 1275 megawatt, where you've commissioned, when do you expect it to start throwing EBITDA and not so that you don't have to charge it to your CapEx?
So, there is a long-term access issue which is going on. We expect it to resolve in this quarter. So, we are not sure when they are going. We are putting our best efforts. But as long as, we are able to earn the revenue on a short-term basis, and which is a good one, that is okay with us.
But what kind of revenues are you earning? Does it also mark the start of PPA from your perspective?
No, it is not starting. Unless and until, official COD certificate is issued, my PPA clock starts from the date of issuance of COD. So, still it is not. So 25 years starts from that date.
Okay. And what kind of tariffs are you able to earn on that? It
depends on the market.
Yeah, so last quarter, what would it be on an average?
I have told 763 crore, I have told that this is the amount. Actually, I don't have that average number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is the problem with the long-term access issue, if you can elaborate a bit there?
Sure. So what happens, in an evacuation capacity, when you get it from, say, CTU or whichever is your transmission counterparty, they enumerate multiple elements which needs to be completed for ensuring 100% guaranteed evacuation. So what happens in, because this process involves multiple such elements, So one or two or three of such element out of say five or seven may not still be ready, okay, which is delayed by say 2 months, 3 months, 6 months kind of a thing. So this is typical where there is a catch and catching game between the generator and the transmission elements, where which we need to generally time that we are commissioning our capacities along with those elements. So what we see is whether our power will actually get evacuated irrespective of the elements, all elements coming in. So in a lot of these cases, while 70-80% of the elements has come in, maybe one or two elements which are slightly delayed. So which is leading to LTA, long-term open access, not being operationalized. And once those elements are over, which are very near to their commissioning, the LTA will be operationalized and we will have our CODs. But we can evacuate power. That is the reason how we are able to sell it in the market.
Okay, that's what I was curious about. You could evacuate power, but the long-term access is still not sorted.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, there would be at least in every LTA which you ask, because the capacities are no longer 10, 15, 20 megawatts. These are 300, 500, 700 megawatts. So they need to have the transmission lines, multiple transmission lines, multiple substations and all of that being done as part of giving you that 100% guarantee that for next 25 years, come what may, your power will be evacuated. Okay. So right. For that kind of a statement to make, they need to have all those elements. But technically the system can still evacuate because the substation which you are connected, that has those transformers. There are some transmission lines which are already made, so you can evacuate your power through that.
Okay, got it. That's a good explanation. Thank you. The second is for the new plants which you are commissioning. What kind of PLFs are you now getting on the new technology, both on the solar and the wind side?
So you know, we have in hybrid projects we could generate 44% CUF.
Okay. And possible to break it between solar and wind?
Let me just check what is the breakup. Can you just give me the... No. He wants in hybrid.
Yeah. 32
and 50. Solar is 32% and wind is 54%.
Oh, okay. The second is if you can also, you know, talk a bit about, you know, what are you experiencing in terms of the bidding environment since you have slowed down a bit, and what kind of bids are you expecting and how do you expect to, you know, participate in that given that you already have a very strong pipeline with you?
Sure. So, you know, as AGL, if you see our history, we have not necessarily chased the price down, despite having the capability. And that is the reason why our cash flows are healthy and operation and the performance is good. So you would see, if you are tracking the market in the recent past, we are not necessarily bidding the prices down. And we believe the market needs to correct a bit. And with the recent increase in the interest rates and the recent increase in the last one and a half years increase in the module prices, some of these projects which have been recently bid out may see a meaningful stress, and market should correct, which is the way it has moved in the last 5-6 years in the industry. So given that we have a large pipeline, we don't need to necessarily worry about the near-term execution, whether we have the expansion, whatever we want to achieve, it is there or not. So we are watching the market and we bid where we believe that we are making the differentiator. So we believe the market should correct a bit, and then we would probably be there taking some impact.
And what kind of bids are you like, tenders are you likely to see? Any thoughts there?
So, see, you know, Abhi, in the last 2 years, three, four things have happened in the sense that the concept of hybrid has helped the country in integrating more renewables. the concept of RTC power is something which is evolving. At the same time, solar and wind has played its own role. Just because of what India has solar capacity today in the daytime, you don't necessarily see the prices in the daytime at whatever peaks you see in the evening. So everything has its own merits. So we expect that there will be balance of all the three or four types coming in some cases, as Vineet was just mentioning, pump hydros will be roped in to cater to that evening peaks being addressed. So all of that is expected to come. And market is expected to evolve as we move forward. The project sizes may become further large if we are talking about RTC solutions, because if we talk about pump hydros being tied up, they need to be tied up with meaningful capacity. So broadly speaking, we are saying yes, all three or four modes of the bids will come in. And there will be some emphasis towards meeting the non-solar hours power as well through some of these solutions.
Okay, got it. This is very helpful. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have a next question from the line of Rahul Modi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations for good numbers. Sir, a couple of questions just to understand. Sir, how is the module availability now that we've got both tariff and non-tariff barriers? So for the new capacities that we are targeting, both in the hybrid and only solar space. So how are you looking to mitigate, availability issues? And when do you expect our captive module supplies to start coming in?
So Rahul, that's a very pertinent question, and which is what is impacting a lot of our competitors for their near-term projects. So good part is we, as part of our manufacturing tender, got allocation of 2 gigawatt of solar manufacturing capacity cell and module. We have 26% stake in that, and the balance is held by a sister company which is expert in doing solar modules manufacturing. So that capacity is just nearing its completion. Modules are already done, and cell is about to be made operational very soon. Now, in the next one and a half months. So that provides us, or basically gives us, some amount of comfort with respect to our supplies if we need to have that supplies coming from there. At the same time, for the requirements of FY23, we are more or less already done in terms of what we want to buy. Going forward, as I said, we will have these capacities. In almost all the taxes on or custom duties on the modules that has been imposed is a pass-through for us in our PPAs. So there again, we have an option of buying it from outside India. So we have significant flexibility in doing what we are doing. Separately, that particular sister company is further expanding their manufacturing capacity. By early next year, the manufacturing capacity with that company with cell and modules will be close to 4 gigawatts per annum. And they are further expanding that in stages to a significantly higher capacity. So from an Adani perspective, we have significant flexibility in terms of what we want to do based on where I have the change in law, not change in law, or going forward, where, how I want to bid, where the BCD will not be a change in law. I can always tie up my capacities prior to the bid, even with my sister company. So all of that flexibility is available with me.
So that's very helpful. Actually, so this 4 gigawatt we are expecting to get commissioned in the manufacturing over the next 12 months. That will be on an annualized basis. And that you are saying that further, obviously, so that will be module plus cell. And then you will be backward integrating further over a period of time.
Yeah, the sister company is further backward integrating. They are growing up to from my MG silica till the modules fully integrated in phases. So they have also won some capacity under the PLI tender to do it. So that is a mandate in any which way they have it. So they are moving ahead with that.
Right. And sir, the manufacturing link tender had been PPAs for around 9 gigawatt out of the 12. So you are you seeing an interest for the balance 3, or we'll be concluding at least this as for now?
No, no. So we have already, so in my portfolio, I think I have what, 1,300 plus some 2,100 odd megawatt capacity to be tied up. And that we already have, we know that SECI already have proposals to close them. So the process is on, and we expect that probably in the next 30 to 60 days, most of that capacity should be closed. See, what is also here, Rahul, because of the recent increase in the power prices, some of this backlog got is no longer a stress for SECI to place.
Right.
So some of the DISCOMs which were otherwise looking to price it very fine and wait for the projects prices to go further down in the future bid because they had no compulsion to buy for an immediate demand. All of that chapter is gone out of the picture now.
Sure. So this is helpful. So now on this, just taking this further in terms of, you know, the capacity addition now that, you know, the module prices, at least the rack rates from China have stabilized to a great extent. So do you see, so where do you see the tariffs? Now, I know the only solar bids are not coming as much, but where do you see the tariffs stabilizing overall, and what is our comfort level as Adani Green?
See, I think it's a difficult question to answer if you ask me, just because everyone has their own internal thresholds on the tariffs, okay, or on the returns, and their own cost of setting up the plant, cost of procurement of modules, their own optimization level on configurations, okay. So, but what at least I can tell you is today's tariff, which we are seeing in the market after considering the impact of BCD and the revised GST, are not remunerative tariffs. And there will be reverse. How much? Let's see how the interest rate environment moves. But it is fair to assume that we should see at least 8 to 10% movement up back. But it's difficult. And it will, when how the market moves will decide it. Suppose there are other considerations which can keep the tariff low, fine. What I'm concerned about as a strategy is whether I can get better returns than the market when I execute my project. For that, I have my own capabilities, which I can do.
Sure. So, but you see the market stabilizing when you say 8 to 10%, that's on a base of 250?
Rahul, I think I don't want to necessarily give a number on this because, it is very subjective. It can be taken in multiple different contexts. But it is, as I said, it is the consideration of each and every party. It may so happen some strong parties can actually work with even lower increase. Some parties may not be able to do. So it's different. Its question is whether I am able to optimize myself, how am I making the tariff workable for me? Am I better than others? That is what I can drive, which is what I can drive, and I have been able to achieve. So, but I, at the same time, I understand your point. So, the recent bids plus 8 to 10% is what you should assume.
Got it. Perfect. And just last question from my side is that at Adani Green, so how much would be an ideal capacity addition that you would like to see on an annual basis, basically, for the next, anywhere between 5 to 8 years?
Yeah, so answer to your question, Rahul, is that we are planning 3.5 to 4 gigawatt annually. That is about the greenfield. And if something comes up on inorganic, that will be over and above that.
Perfect, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Apurva Bahadur from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. So I think I understand you cannot share the tariffs probably at the current module prices, but can you please share the capital cost that we are seeing for the projects being built on current modules or including the BCD and GST, etc.?
So we don't have that offhand number on hand. What we will do is that I will ask Viral to share it separately with you.
Fair enough. And anything on the wind, do we have that? If you can share that number for wind capacity as well, what would be the current capital cost?
No, I don't have that available. You know, typically it is 4.5 crores for solar and wind it is 5.5 to 6 crores. But it depends on individual case-to-case basis. So, you know, very difficult to often tell you about general, you know, cost. So we will share that separately.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity. My first question is if you can share what kind of hedging costs are you seeing right now in the current environment of sharp rupee depreciation?
So, in fact, you know, the forward has come down to 3.5%, while the dollar has increased from 78 to 80, but the forward cost has come down. So, all in all, we are seeing that 4% is reasonable cost to assume over and above the, you know, the cost of borrowing. That's what we are seeing this.
Okay. Understood. And second, you know, you also talked about, you know, potential capacity addition from inorganic opportunities. Can you talk about which are the large ones that are on the block currently?
No, we don't have currently on the block. You know, we will be, I'm just saying that if actually our internal target is that which is visible clearly from the greenfield angle, which is 3.5 to 4. But
right.
If some opportunity comes up, then that will be an additional. Now, today I don't have that opportunity available.
And so today there's nothing up for sale.
Unless and until, you know, we have that return minimum threshold of around 16%, you know, we are not in a hurry or, you know, to buy any asset.
Right. But are there some large assets which are awaiting buyers?
I want to know from you, dear friend, if you have anything, please share with us. We are happy to look at it.
Great. Thank you so much.
You are talking to so many companies on your call, so you must have some information. If you can share with us, that would be great help.
So, Puneet, see, the last large public process was done for an entity which is under consummation, which was, I think Shell.
Yeah.
I think that was the last large public process. Obviously, you would understand that privately there are multiple discussions which happen, which has their own obligations of confidentiality. But what Kaushal Bhai is saying that we are open as a strategy to look at large-scale acquisitions. We have done that in the past, and we have successfully integrated them in our business. So for us, the growth side is open both on the greenfield side as well as doing the brownfield slash fully built portfolio as long as we satisfy our returns. So that I think should help you in your question.
Right. And are you largely satisfied with how SB Energy acquisition has been going in the execution?
Yes. So, you know, the good part about that acquisition is we were in a very good position to integrate that in our current set of stream in terms of project execution. Some of those projects are just coming now for execution. Some of those were there last year. And the issues which probably the portfolio was facing were something which we were very comfortable to handle. and those could give us the additional kickers which I think some of the players in the market could not achieve. So from that perspective, it's a very good acquisition which we have done, and we have been able to integrate that very well. Results, obviously, as we move forward, you will be able to see.
Right. And also, can you give some plan or your execution plan for FY23, 24, and 25? What all capacities will you execute?
So I've told you, generally, you know, we will be adding around 3.5 to 4 gigawatts annually. That's what you should count when you consider the overall numbers.
Okay, 3.4 to 4 gigawatts annually. This year also similar numbers? And this will be excluding the 1275 number, or will it be in addition to that?
Sorry?
So the 3.5 to 4 gigawatts will be in addition to what you've already done? Included.
Is including whatever we have done. I am talking about yearly, not quarterly.
Right.
The schedule of commissioning is already published by us recently in our AGM presentation for the existing portfolio. So it has given year-wise up to FY26 how we plan to execute the projects.
Understood. I'll have a look at that. Thank you so much for this. And all the best.
Thank you. Reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Modi of MK Global for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, the management, for participating in the conference. Any more further questions we may have, we may contact Investor Relations at Adani Green Energy. And since we don't have any questions, I think we'll end the call here.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you, and if you have any questions, you know, please reach out to Viral or our investor head, Bala. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hello.